I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Joining us now, a man who's probably tired of talking to me because we've had a bunch of chats throughout the year, Taylor Funk from the Utah State men's basketball team. Taylor, congratulations, man. Going dancing.
Thank you, man. Really appreciate that.
That's so great. So happy for you, Taylor. Kind of take us into that room when you guys got the announcement. Where were you thinking you might land, and what did you think of the 40th ranking and 10 seed that you were provided?
Yeah, so we were all at Coach's house. You know, the whole team was there, all the staff and a couple other people. It was an experience, man. I mean, never been to the dance, and, you know, a couple guys on the team has not as well. So, you know, we're all excited. We're all a little nervous. But we were definitely confident, you know, that we were going to get a bid, and, you know, we were hoping to stay away from the 11 seed. We didn't want to do that playing game. Yeah, beyond happy with the 10 seed. We were thinking anywhere from 8 to 10, and, you know, a couple of us saw some tweets like, you know, might get matched up with Missouri, and, you know, we saw Missouri's name pop up, and we're like, here we go, and, you know, we saw our name, and nothing but cheers and excitement, and, you know, just kind of makes it all worth it at the end of the day. You know, go through a lot of trials and a lot of ups and downs, but, you know, this team, it's just fun, you know. It's just, I'm with my brothers, and, you know, it's no other squad I'd rather do this with.
So I've known your story for a while, and you play at St. Joe's. You're playing your sixth year of college with a COVID year and a medical redshirt and everything else that you've been afforded to, and to be able to finally get to the NCAA tournament, never being there before, but in your last year, being able to experience that, what are your emotions right now with that?
Yeah, emotions are high. I feel like this is every Hooper's dream. You know, just every summer, just traveling the country, you know, playing AAU, just exhausting your body, these summer workouts once you get to college. And, you know, it kind of seems like, why are we killing ourselves right now when, you know, season's not for another 4 or 5 months? But I'll tell you what, man, it's not easy. It's not easy at all, but it is, it's memories and, you know, just stuff that you're never going to forget. And it's just, yeah, it's kind of an indescribable feeling. It's really everything you want. But the thing is, like, it's just one game at a time, you know. It's obviously any team that's making this tournament is a really good team. But, you know, we're talking with the guys, and it's just one more game, you know, playing at a neutral site, and let's just win that game, you know, and then we'll worry about the next, and then we'll win that game and worry about the next. And, you know, it's kind of what we did all season. It's just one game at a time, and I feel like that's when we're at our best.
So, Taylor, how does a guy start his basketball career at Mannheim Central in Pennsylvania and then end up in Logan, Utah, as Scotty mentioned, in the sixth year doing what you're doing now? How does this all come about?
I don't even know if I can answer that question. It's just kind of, I guess it's more God's timing than anything else. It's opportunity after opportunity. And, you know, it was definitely a jump moving from, you know, Pennsylvania to Utah. It's multiple states in between us, and tell you what, man, this was the best decision I've ever made in my life, and, you know, not a second of any day did I ever regret this, coming out here. And, you know, it just felt like home. It feels like home, and, you know, I call it my home. You know, I haven't even been here a year, haven't even known these group of guys or the staff for a year. But, you know, these guys mean everything to me, and just really, really blessed to be where we're at right now.
You told me when we first chatted that when you came on a recruiting trip, you told yourself you weren't going to commit. And then how did the end of that trip go?
Yeah, the end of that trip ended by me shaking Coach's hand and saying, let's do this thing.
What was the selling point? What was the tipping point?
It was more of a feel thing, I guess. On my visit, everything was perfect. You know, the guys were the group of guys I could see myself being with. The coaching staff was the coaching staff I, you know, wanted to be coached by. And, you know, it's a different lifestyle out here for sure. I mean, this is nothing like Philly where I lived the last 5 years, but, you know, change is a good thing sometimes. And I put myself out there, and yeah, like I said, it's definitely the decision I'm most proud of, you know. So being called in the Selection Sunday is, yeah, makes everything worth it and more.
I was reading a little bit about your prep career in Pennsylvania. Has Mannheim Central called you to retire your jersey yet?
No, not yet. I was talking to my head coach yesterday, actually. You know, just because he's a big part of my, you know, my career, and known each other for a long time. So, yeah, maybe we'll have to get on that. I'm not sure. My record just got broken by.
Oh.
You know, I had the all time scoring record, in school history, and a girl named Maddie Nyer just she actually just broke it the other day.
Because you had 1,977. Did she break the 2,000 mark?
Yep, she's over 2K. So, you know, credit to her. She's a heck of a player, and, you know, she deserves that for sure.
Yeah, you needed that for at least a decade, though. At least give you 10 years with that thing.
That's awesome. What an incredible accomplishment, though. 1,977 career points at Mannheim Central. What's it like playing basketball in Pennsylvania?
It's different for sure. It's yeah, my part of town was, no, it wasn't really known for basketball. We were more of a football school. But my freshman year, I think we broke like 25 records that year. We went undefeated at home. We first team to ever make it to district championship, first team to ever make it to states, first team to ever win a game in states. It was an experience, man, and built friendships for life. I mean, when our name got called yesterday, I think I had my whole team text me individually and just congratulate me. And, you know, they rooted for me because, you know, basketball makes this world small, it seems like. You build so many friendships that really last forever. And I got friends I played with in fifth grade that, you know, we're still really good friends, talk all the time, and haven't seen him for multiple years, but it just, we still kept that friendship.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
So you mentioned, by the way, Taylor Funk joining us from the Utah State basketball team. They've got Missouri in the first round in Sacramento. You'll hear that game right here on The Zone. But I wanted to get your thoughts. You know, you get excited, you're at coach's house, and everybody's fired up about Missouri, and then you start to dig in. Have you guys, I know the coaches are knee-deep in prep. Have you guys had a chance to work on what you've seen and what jumps out at you in your early evaluation of this squad?
Yeah, so as a team, we haven't gotten together yet. We'll do that today in about an hour here. We'll sit down and all watch film. But when we were all at Coach's house, Coach, you know, we get selected. We're hanging out a little bit, and Coach said, you guys are more than welcome to stay, but the staff is heading over to the office to get a start. Meaning they're about to prepare us for this game. So a couple of us came home and, you know, threw some Missouri games on the TV and, you know, started looking at our matchups and did some investigating on their defense and their offense. And, you know, it seems like both these teams can really score the ball at a high level. So it should be a really fun game to watch. Yeah, maybe it just comes down to who can score more buckets.
What'd you think about your location playing in Sacramento?
Yeah. Being an East Coast boy, you know, part of me was hoping for Albany. Could have had a lot of family and friends show up to that one, but, you know, can't be picky when it comes to something like this. It's take us wherever we need to go and let's go win a game.
And again, I'm not trying to give you any excuses, you know, because San Diego State essentially had to do the same thing, but just how hard is it to play a game that wraps up at about midnight, and this isn't AAU ball. This isn't, you know, pickup games. These are just lay it out on the line, physical, in your face. Boise State's crazy physical. And then about, you know, 12, 13 hours later, lacing them up and playing again against another uber physical team. Just how hard is that? What kind of toll does that take on your body?
It definitely takes a toll. I mean, the morning of Boise, we're it's fresh off New Mexico. We didn't get home till I think it was past one, or close to one almost. By the time the guys get treatment, you know, get some food in our stomach, and the emotions and the adrenaline all gets out of your body. And I know personally, I didn't fall asleep till about 4 a.m. that night, and multiple other guys. Turn around, play Boise the next day. Same thing, we got the late game. Same time about falling asleep. I'll sleep about 4 a.m. We have a game the next afternoon, pretty much. It's a toll for sure. I mean, it's not AAU. These are some big guys out there and, you know, physical teams. But you said, I mean, they had to do the same thing, so there is no excuse. It was a battle, and, you know, credit to our trainer, you know, to get our bodies right, get us ready. Strength coach, you know, doing the recovery we need to do. But it's March, you know, these, especially for the seniors, and, you know, this team, coach always talks about this team has one life and, you know, make the most out of it, leave no regrets. And, you know, I truly believe we gave everything we had out there, and, you know, a couple shots didn't go in, and, you know, get a couple more rebounds and the game could turn. But, you know, credit to San Diego State for sure. They were on top of the defense. They were locked in on that end, and, you know, they did what they had to do to win that game.
Hey, Taylor, how old were you when you hit 6'9", when you kind of peaked out on your height?
Yeah, I was, I believe I was going into my senior year. Because I was 6'6 as a freshman, and then every year until my senior year, I grew an inch. Or 6'6", 6'7", 6'8", 6'8". Yeah. I believe my end of my junior year, going into my senior, is when I hit my peak.
So you hit that 6'9" as you were growing in height. Does your parents have a background in basketball, or is this something that you just found as you developed and got your height?
So my mom's she's like 5'. My dad's 6'. And I guess, yeah, my mom's pretty tall for a girl, I guess, so. Definitely get my height from her. I don't know. Yeah, not really a background in basketball. I mean, my dad played in high school, got drafted in the military and played on the Army team, you know, on campus or on his, or, yeah. No. Answer your question, no. There's not really a background in basketball in my family. Brother played in high school, but no one ever went past that. None of my uncles played in college. My dad's brother played in high school, but now it was just something I kind of picked up at a young age. And, you know, my dad knew a lot about the game, so he coached me and trained me, you know, to be the best I could be. But there's no history where, you know, my father played in you know, the Sweet 16 or played in, for this college or anything like that.
So, how old were you when he started having you play in the men's league?
Tell you what, I would go with him 3 days a week. As little as I started getting checked into the nursery, you know, and then I got a little older and he's like, there's some side hoops you can shoot on those if you don't want to go in the nursery. And every chance I got, I would take the side hoops. And I just keep going 3 days a week, you know, and I wasn't even playing. I was just shooting layups because that's probably the only, all the farther I could go. Then over time, I just got a little bigger, a little stronger. And if there was any days, there would be nine guys there. You know, they'd some days let me be the 10th, just to make it even. But time would just go on, and I'd just get a little bigger, a little stronger, you know, month by month. And, you know, I started, started playing and eventually started being one of the better guys. And, yeah, it just, over time, took off.
Well, Taylor, appreciate you hanging out with us, man. Congratulations, and look forward to chatting with you on that down there in Sacramento.
Congrats, Taylor.
Thanks. Thank you very much.
There he is, Taylor Funk. Good dude.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.